Chantel, though, that she was going to look after the kids if they get distracted, that is not for the adults as well. So there's no bailing halfway through. I need you to stay with me for the next few minutes. It's a joy to be with you. I love being here. I love being in my church family. I feel so much a part of this church. We've been through lots together, and looking forward to continuing to be through lots together, that God has a good and bright future for our church family here. So grateful for Gordon and Jackie and for their leadership and for their love. And this is not the end, and we are looking forward to continue to be in fellowship and relationship and discover what the Lord has for us all. Well, I want to just say a few words about Ed and Carolyn before I start the message, and that is, I have so many stories. So many stories. But probably my favorite story about Carolyn and Ed has to do with how reliable, how trustworthy, how dependable they are in regards to the things that are entrusted to their care. It was in the early 90s when Ed and Carolyn were actually serving as my youth pastors. And there was an exciting moment in their lives. They were about to have their firstborn son, Matthew. And so it was a Sunday early evening. Audrey and I were at home. Church was over. Just having some quiet moments together. And there comes a banging on the door like I have never heard. Bang, 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 bang. Bang, 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 bang. Something is happening. I race down to the door, open it, and there's Ed standing there. And he has in his arms bottles of pop. And he says to me, this is Sunday night, he says to me, Carolyn's in labor. We're on our way to the hospital. Here's the pop for youth on Friday night. Carolyn's in labor in the car. It's Sunday. There's youth on Friday, and they have been entrusted with the pop. And so I don't know what was happening on Friday night. All I know is the youth were having pop. And he did not trust me to go get the pop. It was important to drop off the pop at our home. I'm not sure what crises will happen either in the church or in your lives, important things, important moments. But I just want you to be prepared. And so, I know it's Sunday and I heard there's youth tonight. But if it has to do with Carolyn and Ed's leadership, you're set. God bless you. Would you join me in Numbers chapter 10? In a few moments, we're going to turn to God's Word, Numbers chapter 10, together. And just before we do that, my sermon isn't so much a sermon as it is a picture of what I see taking place in this church, in the future of this church, as we set Carolyn and Ed in place here to serve and to lead and to love this congregation and this city. Not only is it what I see, but really it's my prayer for you. And I feel like when preachers say, I have a word for you, it doesn't really mean they have a word for you. It means they have a lot of words for you that just come one right after another. So it's not going to be any shorter than a sermon, but my heart is that it really is kind of what I see for this next season of ministry for the Krolls and for this congregation. Some time ago, I was in Spokane. We were in a pawn shop, and there was a trumpet. Now, unbeknownst to my children at that time, I used to play the trumpet in junior high school. And the older I get, the better I was. And so I braved in this pawn shop. I braved the mouthpiece. I had no idea where it had been or how long it had been there. I braved the mouthpiece of this trumpet, and I played a rendition of Oh, When the Saints that I felt captured everyone's attention. And it did. All of a sudden, there was quiet in the pawn store, and I felt like it was the return of the golden smog, of the velvet lips. My kids might remember it a little bit differently. But in Numbers chapter 10 is where we're going to look at, and it has to do with not a trumpet in a pawn store, but it has to do with a trumpet or two trumpets that God instructed Moses to have fashioned. I really believe it has to do with Ed and Carol and those two trumpets and the calls that will go forth. But would you join me? Numbers chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, it says this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work, and you shall use them for the calling of the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall be gathered before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Verse 4 says, but if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall begin their journey. And when you sound the advance of the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. Verse 7, and when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Verse 9, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. These two silver trumpets. Silver in Scripture has to do with redemption. Has to do with the price of redemption, whether it's 30 pieces of silver, Jesus and Joseph. It has to do with the tabernacle set in sockets of silver. Silver, when you see silver in Scripture, it has to do with the price of redemption. And I thought, as talking about these trumpets, for you, Ed and Carolyn, specifically, that everything that you would do would be redemptive. Everything about your ministry would be with redemptive purposes in mind. And it, because they have been bought with a price, you've been redeemed. But not only you, but this congregation has been bought with a price. We are not our own, we are His. There was a price that was paid for us. The price of redemption is the blood of Jesus. He redeemed us. But not only does it talk about that there were silver trumpets, it talks about that they were hammered. It has nothing to do with alcohol. These hammered trumpets, it has to do with artistically being fashioned with a hammer. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have a hammer, I don't artistically fashion. I tend to just make a lot of dents. But I'm so grateful that the Lord has been the one who has artistically fashioned you with a hammer, who has shaped you and formed you for this, specifically for this season in ministry. I'm glad it hasn't been me with a hammer that people just get dented, but it's Him who has shaped you. So as we move forward in the text, there are a number of things that happen with these calls that will go out from the trumpets. The first is this. It says the purpose was for the calling of the congregation, a gathering, a bringing together. How good and pleasant it is when we dwell together, when we come together in unity, a deep sense of being called. But not just called. We recognize we are called by God, but we're also called by God. We're called together as family, a gathering. There's so many times in Scripture where we see the people of God called together, gathering, feasts, so much food. I'm thrilled, as always, that there's lunch after the service. But it's the call that goes out is not the call that the food trucks have arrived, so we're gathering. The call is that we're gathering together as family, and whether there's food or not, there's fellowship and there's closeness, and we gather. It's the heart of Jesus where He said, how often I wanted to gather you together, to bring you together, not only to Himself, but to one another. And as the call goes forth, we would hear that not only is there this fellowship and community that takes place, but that there would be none that is missing. there's a gathering together, and we would be able to say, there's none missing. How did the good shepherd know that there was one missing when he gathered the 99? He gathered the 99 and he counted and he recognized there's someone missing, and went after the sheep. And it's not somehow that you can't miss a service. It's not about being in attendance in every service. It's being in attendance in a fellowship in the community of faith. Let there be none that are missing. And when we stand before the Lord on that day, may we look around and say, there's not one missing. And I pray that for my personal family all the time. God, let there be none missing. And so when the call goes out to gather, may there be none missing. May there be none missing. The calling together of the congregation, though, it's not just to be in the same room, it's to be in the same spirit. Same unity, same purpose. We gather together, not just in unity, but in community. Because we're not only believers, we are belongers. And the message goes out, and Pastor Gordon said already, everybody's welcome. Everybody's wanted. And so as the silver trumpets sound, may there be a gathering of the people where everybody is welcome and everyone is wanted. The second sounding that's recorded in chapter 10 is the direction of the camps. Direction of the movement of the camps. There are a lot of ways to direct people. You can direct people. As we were traveling here from Calgary yesterday and going through any kind of construction zones, there's signs, people standing, stop, slow. Traffic cops, you often see directing traffic. If Ed and Carolyn's, one of their sons works at the Calgary Airport and is on the turnaround crew outside. And so he has to do with even his team directing the planes that come in. Huge responsibility, but not a lot of relationship. And so as pastors would come and serve the congregation, it is certainly to give direction, but it has to do with responsibility and relationship. I think directing the movement of the camp is more like choreographing a dance. I'm not much of a dancer. I know the Pentecostal hop. That's probably all I got. From time to time, my wife Audrey has tried to teach me to dance, and as in our kitchen, she said, "Well, put your hand on my side, and all you need to do is give a gentle nudge, just a little pressure, not a push, not a shove, and I'll know where you want me to go." The trouble is, I can put my hand on her side and give pressure. I don't know where I'm going. Just lead where you want to go. I don't know. And so we'll walk into the stove or we'll whatever. It's not pretty. That's where vision comes in. That's where direction comes in. The way that you bring direction to the movement of the camp is through vision. And it's not through your vision, and it's not through Pastor Gordon Jackie's vision, it's through God's vision. That's where biblical vision comes from. It comes from hearing the voice of God, being close to Him, and seeing where He is leading and guiding and directing. It allows us to see where He's leading. Jesus said, "Follow me." He never said, "Just bring me along with wherever you're going. Wherever you happen to be going today, just bring me along." No, follow me. That has to do with keeping our eyes on Him, that He'll bring vision and direction. It's true that the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. But it's been my experience that without a vision, people go to another parish. And how important it is to have vision together while directing the camp. And it's rooted out of relationship. It flows out of gathering together in the same room, in the same spirit. And vision helps us move all in the same direction with the gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit as He leads, builds His church, gives direction. We're able to, like a beautiful choreographed divine dance, follow His leading. So not only are we called together, not only do we hear a sound and are led the movement and direction of the camp through relationship and through vision, but the next thing is, there was a sound, it said there's a distinct sound. It's a gathering of the leaders. That that there will be a call and the leaders will gather. And I love that because it doesn't say the leader will gather. It says the leaders, plural. It has to do with the plurality of leaders. And it has to do with setting leaders in place so that there is a place for everyone to minister. For some, it will be continuing in a ministry that you've been serving in and faithful in for a long time. But not just continuing that because, well, this is what I've always done. But because there's vision and purpose and direction in that. For some, it will be stepping out of an area of ministry to allow someone else to step into it and grow and learn and develop just like you did so that you can be involved in something else. Carolyn and Ed's responsibility is to train and equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that the church might grow. The church might grow together, and the church might grow strong and might grow healthy as everyone does our part. In our Foursquare family of churches, we believe so strongly in servant-hearted leadership. And Jesus demonstrated servant-hearted leadership. He said that he didn't come to be served, but rather he came to serve. And so we want to pattern our lives after his model, that we too would come to serve. But you can't serve everyone in every place, in every way, at every time. Can't be done. But you can serve somewhere, and you can serve someone. And you might say, well, Barry, I'm not a leader. Of course you are. Everyone is a leader. It has to do with leadership is influence. And everyone has influence in other people's lives. In Calgary, where I pastor, we have a worship leader. In fact, Mark and Tara are here, and Mark's one of our church council members, and Tara oversees our worship ministry. And we have a worship leader in Calgary that will probably never be on the platform and singing into a mic. His name is Norman. Norman's in a wheelchair. And Norman needs help with everything. Everything. And you really have to train your ear to understand when Norm speaks. He speaks with difficulty, and it's hard. You really have to train your ear to the cadence of his voice and be able to listen what he's saying. But I tell you this, that in our times of worship, when Norm starts to sing, he has influence as a worship leader in the congregation because he sings not only at the top of his lungs, but he sings with all of his heart. And there is such influence in that, leadership influence. And he may never be on the platform and never be singing into a mic, but he is one of our worship leaders. Because he has influence, and people say, if Norm can do that, I can do that too. And we join with him, and there is something that happens. We have other, I wouldn't call them worship leaders, but would respond differently than Norman. With arms folded, and appearance of being unresponsive. I'll tell you, there is influence there as well. May we be involved in church leadership when we hear the call to use and steward our influence well. I love Norman's worship leading because it's just so contagious. And it's so exciting. There's different positions, different roles, but all valuable. We're all parts of the body. God will not only give Carolyn and Ed vision and direction for the congregation, for the movement of the camp, but I believe that he will touch their eyes, able to see into your life potential that you may not have ever seen before. Plans and places that you can do this. You can step up into this. You can serve here. I see this in you. And you can have leadership influence that the church might be built up and grow into all things that God has called this church to be. Every person's a leader somewhere. The fourth call that went out in Numbers chapter 10 is the sound the advance. Hear the call of the advance. We are moving forward. It's very simple. It's like the sound of the whistle at the job site. Not the end of the day whistle, but the alarm or the whistle that says, okay, it's time to start. It's time to get to work. It's not quitting time. It's time to get to work. It's great to gather together in fellowship and community. It's great to have vision and direction. It's great to have people set in place based on God's vision. People signed up ready to help. But then there's time to do it. To do it. To not somehow let the vision only remain a dream. Train and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And it's work. And servant leadership is work. And it's the toughest part because it goes from theory and theology to elbow grease. It goes from theory and theology and yes and amen to okay, let's get the work done. Advancing is hard work as you press through resistance. I remember a few years ago we were putting a new engine in an old car in my garage. I say we because I stood and watched the mechanic do it. And then I did have a part to play. I paid him for doing it. I may have put the spark plugs in, and miraculously it still ran. But at one point he had the new engine in, and he's laying underneath the car, trouble light, it's late at night, I'm watching what he's doing. And you hear those words you never want a mechanic to say, uh-oh. And he's looking up, and as he's trying to put in a thingamajig into the doodad, he's trying to do something. He sees that a number of steps earlier, he had put something in that is now in the way of the next thing that he has to do. And he's looking at it and he realized to take this next step, he has to undo 5 or 6 steps that he's already done. And it's gonna cost time, it's doable, whatever. But he's laying there looking up at the engines, and it's probably just 60 seconds, but it seemed like forever. And as he's laying there looking at it, I hear him saying, who knew that this would shape me this many years ago? The statement that this mechanic made, he's looking up at it, and he says, well, it's not going to get done just looking at it. And away he goes. He starts undoing, and over the course of the week, the car was put back together and ran. But as the church... as the church gathers and discovers the next step, and people are in place, and there's vision and direction, nothing is going to happen just looking at the vision. Nothing's going to happen just looking at, yeah, that's where God's called us to. Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, we're thrilled. Boy, that looks good. Nothing's going to happen just looking at it. When you hear the advance, when you hear the call, get her done. It's the moment of get her done. The last thing that I'd like to share with you before Pastor Steve comes and takes us to the next part of our time together. The last part is when there was the call, it was an alarm call. It was a call to war. That the sound would go forth and it was a call to war in fulfilling God's mandate in and through your life and in and through the life of this congregation. There is a natural resistance that just comes from hard work. That there's some effort and we get tired and it's just very natural and normal. But there's also a spiritual battle that wages. And we have a very real enemy of our souls who wants to do whatever he can to steal, kill, and to destroy everything of God's plans and purposes for this congregation. And so as you advance, the enemy doesn't just roll over. The good news is, though, that we are not ignorant of his devices. And together we can stand and declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. If you were looking for a moment to say amen, that was it. There are lots of things we could talk about regarding spiritual warfare. But I believe so strongly part of the mandate of this congregation and the sound of the call to war is to rescue POWs, and rescue those who are held captive behind enemy lines. Listen, there's a difference between prisoners and captives. Prisoners are in jail because of something they have done. Captives are in jail because something someone else has done to them. But listen, God has called us to rescue them both. Whether they look and say, look at the mess I've got myself in, or look at how life has unfolded and the mess I'm in, the answer is this: Jesus has called us to make a difference in their lives. And when we hear the sound, the call to war, let's advance and rescue some people. for the cause of Christ. God's called us to rescue them all. When you hear the call, this means war. And the anointing of the Lord is upon us to open prison doors and set captives free. You are not called to simply attend church. You're called to be the church. So under the Kroll's servant-hearted leadership, may there be a gathering of the congregation into a deep sense of belonging. May there be clear vision and direction discovered together as you determine God's leading. May there be a setting in place of servant-hearted leaders to influence growth and health in the life of this church. May there be a pressing through of the resistance and advance the vision so it doesn't remain a dream. And may there be a rescuing of prisoners and captives as we declare Cranbrook for Christ. Cranbrook for Christ. And so with all these things, we commit them all to the Lord and we say to God be the glory as Jesus builds his church. Amen? Amen. Pastor Steve, would you come?
Thank you, Barry. Great message. Do you know what? I was just kind of thinking, wouldn't it be great if there was a trumpet around here and we could hear Barry play when the saints go marching in on the trumpet? Wouldn't that be a great finale to the message? A great message about the call of the trumpet and the call to the church today. Nobody has a trumpet, do they? And just to let you know, Barry's one of the stars among our unit supervisors. He is so loved and so respected among our church family. So you're really privileged that he's a supervisor in this unit. And I know Gordon and Jackie, you know that, and you've worked with him and loved him for a long time. And I know that he's not new to you guys, and I know he's not new to the church. Just want to point that out, that the Barry and Audrey are just a wonderful couple, and you're really blessed to have them serving your church in that role. So about, it must have been almost 6 years ago, Barry and I were both in town. I think it had something more to do with Kimberly, but we asked Gordon if he would come for breakfast, meet us for breakfast. So we organized this breakfast and we sat down and he seemed kind of tense and we're like, are you okay? You know, what's going on, Gordon? And he said, well, give me the news. And we're like, well, what news is that? And he says, well, haven't you come to tell me that my time is up and that I need to be moving on? And we're like, no, we just wanted to have breakfast with you. And ever since that time, he's been wondering about when it would be time to step down. And finally, just over a year ago, he said, I feel like the time is right. And even though at that point we thought, well, maybe it would be a matter of months, it turned out to be a matter of a year, and you continued to serve faithfully during that period of time. And I know the two of you work together as a team. Usually couples complement each other. You bring different gifts to the table. And Jackie's been a superstar in the administrative department. My office, we know about these things. If people aren't doing their administration, then, we become aware of that. But she's not only done a wonderful job for your church, but for your unit as well in helping other churches do their administration and even bringing advice beyond the unit. So we really appreciate what you've done. And it's not just... And you served. I didn't even take the time to total up the number of years. You served with another denomination before coming into Foursquare and then served with the Foursquare Church in Bathurst. Actually, I think it was brought into Foursquare during that period of time. And then when the Kilpatricks were done here, you came and took over the reins and led through some difficult periods of time and inherited a building that was in need of some TLC. But during that time, it not only, brought some things up to date that needed to be brought up to date, but managed to pay off the mortgage on this building and balance budgets and all those things. Wonderful accomplishments. And I know the church itself, that they took time 2 weeks ago to honor you and to have a farewell, but not being part of that, I wanted to play my little role too. And so if I come up here, if I get you to come up here, I got a little gift for you. And maybe you could open it up. It's just a, it's kind of a memento. You got to keep it upright too. It's slightly fragile. You'll see why in just a minute. But just dig in there. Anticipation. So I'll read out what's on this plaque.
Deep thanks and appreciation for faithful service and fruitful ministry, the Foursquare Gospel Church of Canada recognizes Gordon and Jacqueline Henry. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, forever grateful for you, 2018. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. I'm going to ask if Pastor Barry, I'll just pray over you. I know this is a time of transition, and transitions are both exciting and sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of adjustment that happens when you go through that. But Barry, would you lead in prayer over Gordon and Jacqueline?
God, thank you so much for Gordon and for Jacqueline. Thank you for the gift that they are to our lives. God, thank you for your word that tells us you know the end of a thing from the beginning. And God, we would declare that this is not the end, but this is a new beginning. God, thank you for their faithfulness and thank you for their fruitfulness. We recognize this transition time. God, we acknowledge your leadership in this. And your word tells us that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And so, God, as they step from this place into the new moments that you have for them, we pray that they would walk in your blessing. They would walk in your provision. God, they would walk in your protection. And most of all, God, that they would walk in your presence. God, thank you for their faithfulness and fruitfulness, and we continue to pray your blessing upon their lives and their faithfulness, upon their fruitful ministry that is even yet ahead. God, we pray that there would, however, be a season of rest, of restoration, of restoring, of life, of health, God, for all that they have given and all that they have poured out. God, would you pour out greater measure into their lives? God, that they would have a freshness about their lives, that they, as they wait on you, in fact, their youth would be renewed like the eagles. God, let this be a renewing time as they follow you. And we bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
We really appreciate you guys. You've done such a wonderful job. You really have done. Now, within different churches, there's different traditions and ways of doing things. And when it comes to pastoral transitions, there's a way that the Foursquare Church does things that isn't identical to the way that every church does it. But we have a system of appointment where the National Board gives powers of appointment to the president, who's me. I also joke that not only am I given the powers of appointment, but I'm also given the powers of disappointment, because whoever you don't appoint gets disappointed, right? So, but it's not something that I do in a vacuum or on my own. I work with the unit supervisor. I work with the church councils. And we work and we pray together and we seek Jesus, because I believe at the end of the day, Jesus has someone in mind that he believes should lead a church forward from where it's at. And so it's the mind of the Lord that we're seeking. And there's a great passage from Acts that I love the little phrase. Do you remember in Acts when they were wondering what to do when the Gentiles started to get saved, and what are we going to do about, you know, the different food laws, and how are you going to bring everybody together? And they searched the scriptures, they talked about it, they prayed. And then there's a statement that I love. It seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. And that's the kind of goal that I end at, I aim at in these searches, is come to the place where people are saying, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. The way appointments work is God does the calling. And I believe that God's calling has been put on Carolyn and Ed for this season of time. They've been set apart for this work by the Lord to carry the church forward from where it's at now. But the call also needs to be identified, and that's why we go through this process, so that we can recognize who God has already called. And when we lay hands on them and appoint them, I believe that there's more than just a symbolic transfer that takes place. There's something in the spiritual realm that takes place when hands are laid on a person. There is an authority that's conferred, but there's also, there's like a grace for the role. And there's so many people I've talked to that have explained that while I was in that role, I had the grace for the role. And I feel the same in my role. I feel like during the season that I'm in a particular role, that God gives me the grace for the role. And I believe that's something that he imparts as we lay hands on. And that's something that we're going to do in a few minutes. A pastor has to receive the call that God gives to them. You know, God will say, you know, will draw and guide and lead. He'll use other people to recognize that, and it's something that has to be received. But a church also has to receive the pastor. And so there's two things I'd like to do today before we call them up and lay hands on them, officially appointing them to the role of lead pastor. Carolyn is lead pastor of the church, and Ed is assisting pastor to this church. One thing is that I have a charge to the church itself. It's a few scriptures, and I'm going to ask those of you who are part of New Life Foursquare Church to respond afterwards. So listen carefully to the scriptures, okay? Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 17. I put them together, and it says this. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men and women who must... as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And then skip into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And finally, from Galatians, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. So my question to New Life Foursquare Church, are you willing to accept Carolyn and Ed as your pastors to receive them? All right, great answer. Glad to hear that. And now there's a charge to the pastor, because pastors have a pretty difficult role in many ways. For one, they have to model the way. It's not just a matter of telling things, but it's showing. As missionaries, we served as missionaries in other countries before, and when you leave, you know, you wonder how many of my wonderful sermons did people remember, and, you know, what are they going to say when you go? And the thing that really surprised or impressed itself upon me was that people said, I saw how you lived with your wife, and I saw how you treated your kids, and I saw how you related amongst us. And that's what really left an impression on us, is how you were. And that's what pastors do, is they model the way. They show through their lives what it means to walk out a life of following Jesus. Pastors do also preach the word. And there's power in the word, as we know, that, you know, as Timothy was told, to preach the word, to watch your life and doctrine closely. Because there's power in that word. It's a power that breaks through hardness of hearts. It's a power that changes lives. It's a power that demolishes strongholds and arguments. The preaching, the faithful preaching of the word, is a key thing that pastors do. Pastors also lead a team. In Foursquare, not only do we strongly emphasize servant leadership, but we emphasize the fact that every member, in fact, is a minister. We've all got a role in ministry. It's not like I've heard someone say that a great definition of hockey is 30,000 people desperately needing exercise, watching 30 people who desperately need a rest. And in some ministry models, that seems to be the case. You have some people doing everything and everybody else just standing by as an audience. But in our churches, we really emphasize that every member is a minister, and pastoral role is leading, empowering, even, you know, sometimes it's getting someone up out of their seat and getting them involved and being part of the team. There's even a part of watching over the flock and watching out for wolves. There's a protective role that a pastor has over their flock and over the people that God's giving them charge over. So there's a few charges, scriptural charges, I want to make specifically to you, Carolyn. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Another charge from 2 Timothy. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." And one more from 1 Peter. "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." So I'm going to invite Carolyn and Ed to come forward. I'm also going to invite the church council, if you would come forward, please, and stand with them. Gordon and Jackie, I think it's appropriate that you come and stand here, too, because there's a mantle that's being passed on. And as other part of our extended Foursquare family, Tyler and Lizzie, would you like to come and stand too? And I just got to. So Carolyn and Ed, you heard these scriptural charges that were given. Are you willing to take on the responsibility of the role of pastor of New Life Foursquare Church? All right, that was a good answer too, right? So we're going to pray for them. And during these times, I find it's often a time where the Lord may lay a scripture on somebody's heart, or maybe even a prophetic word, maybe a note that you want to write down, or there may even be something that you want to say after we pray for them. So let's just be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit right now, and those of us who are praying as well, be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit, and if there's something that he wants to say after we pray, we'll do that. Right now, we're going to anoint you with oil. Oil being representative of the Holy Spirit, representing that enabling power that he gives to you, because apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. And it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So that we're going to start off as that, as a sign of your dependence upon his power and his strength to do what you need to do. So I anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus. You give that sense of direction that they heard it and they responded. Lord, you spent years preparing them. They've for this role. They've served as youth pastors. They've served as assisting pastors. They've served in different churches. They've been mentored by some great leaders. And now you've called them to be the leader in a church. And so for Carolyn, Lord, I pray that you would always give her the confidence and boldness and wisdom for the role that you're giving her. Lord, in dealing with people especially, I just pray that you would release the gifts that you've already placed inside of her, just of care and love and understanding, but just the wisdom and how to deal with different people in different situations, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you for Ed, and Lord, I just pray for your anointing upon him as well, that the role that you have laid out for him, that he would walk it out fully and faithfully. Lord, I thank you for the relationships that are already beginning to be developed within the city. And I just pray that that would continue to expand and expand and expand, and that within a short period of time, everybody would know Carolyn and Ed Kroll in Cranbrook, that they would become just known by this community, Lord. And not known just in a general way, but known in a way that would carry respect along with it, that they would be seen as people of respect, people that can be followed, that whose lives can be emulated, Lord. Lord, I pray for their connection with this church. Lord, they're following some very beloved pastors, and sometimes it's easier to follow people who have finished poorly than people who have finished well. But I pray that you would give them a place in the hearts of this congregation and in the hearts of this community. Lord, I pray for evangelistic opportunities to open up before them. You promised that there would be good works that you would prepare in advance for us to do, and so I pray for them, that there would be good works that you would prepare in advance for them to do, and you would give them the sensitivity to recognize those good works when they present themselves, that these are opportunities, divine appointments that you're setting up, that they would recognize those things, Lord. And now, Lord, as we lay hands on them, just impart to them the grace that they need for the task ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Grace for the task ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
To say that you are a gift to this congregation, but I also want to say this congregation is a gift to you. Treasure one another.
As we were praying, I had a picture of a foundation, like just a solid foundation, and I think that is very evident that's present here, and from the past leadership, that there is a strong foundation. But the picture went on from that, and it was that God has given you building plans, and that the structure that's above that foundation, that might change. Things might be adjusted. There might be more that you're adding on. There might be things that are taken away, yet the foundation remains strong. And so, Jesus, we just believe that is your word and your plan for this church and for Carolyn and Ed as they step into this role. Jesus, I pray that the foundation that has been built, that would remain strong, that would not change, that they remain firmly planted in you. But Lord, that everything that you place on their hearts, that is your vision for growth and for change and for multiplication with this church and within this city. Jesus, we just pray your will be done. And I ask, Lord, that Carolyn and Ed would be able to move forward in strength, building upon that strong foundation that you have placed here. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I was praying about this over the last couple months, I had a strong picture, but I wanted a scripture to go with it. And this morning I got from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So I just felt like Pastor Gord and has a different style than Pastor Carolyn, but it's the same Lord at work. So I saw a picture of Pastor Gord in a shepherd, like as a shepherd, a wise, senior shepherd, weathered and strong and full of wisdom, sitting under the shade of an oak tree, resting, and with grandchildren playing at his feet, and he was totally comforted and totally feeling that his sheep were safe and secure under the care of a shepherdess. So I pictured Carolyn as a young shepherdess just wandering around full of energy and vitality with the sheep, and she knew each sheep by name. She loved each sheep. She loved the baby lambs, and she would sing over them and play the harp and the flute. And though if any wolves came around, she was fierce like a warrior to protect her sheep too. And that you were supporting her whenever she needed. You know, but there's, and that was just the picture that I got. So thank you.
Thank you. Hi, brother. Well, I can't be outdone by my daughter, can I? That was my daughter who was just up here. And the Lord, Pastor Gordon, was at my favorite scripture, has been taken this morning already by our president. And that's the one that says, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And we just invite the Spirit of the Lord into our church, into our families, into our city. Hallelujah. But the Lord had given me another verse, and it's one of my favorites, and it says, "Weary yourselves not in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not." And the Lord says, hey, that due season is coming up pretty quick, and we don't have to wait for years, and it's on its way now. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord, immediately after you asked for people to come forward with the word, gave me 2 Corinthians 10 to 15. Now he who supplies... Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of this service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, in their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful.
Isn't the Lord good? And he has good things in store. He has good expectations for this church. So we're so happy for you, Carolyn and Ed. Happy for you to be part of the church here. And I'm officially going to hand over the microphone because I don't know if you want to say anything or whether you just want to lead us into our lunch, but it's all yours now.
There you go.
Amen. All right, we're both going to just share a very brief thing. I'm sure you're hungry. But a scripture that God has been speaking to my heart actually since we were here in February, or a concept or a theme, is the word joy. And that he has promised to me this is going to be a season of joy for all of your time here that I've called you to serve, joy. And I want to read this scripture to you. It's in the book of Isaiah. You, New Life Foursquare, we, New Life Foursquare, will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. And Barry alluded to this earlier, that this is not just for us, so we can walk around and say, woohoo, we have joy and we have peace. And doesn't mean there isn't going to be struggles, but it's a joy and a peace that we can take outside of these four walls and minister to others. And it goes on to promise this at the end. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. So I speak joy and peace over us in this season to come. And I am so thankful to be here, so excited. And I do want to acknowledge publicly, I'm so thankful for Gordon and Jacqueline for their faithfulness. And I said to him this morning, you didn't drop the baton and leave it on the track for us to scramble around and find, but you stayed to pass the baton. He's been in the office this week showing me the ropes, and I can't be more appreciative.
Again, I say thank you. Thank you for laying a firm foundation for us to come on. You know, we've talked about planting churches. We've talked about taking churches over, you know, in a senior position. This is probably the best situation for us because this is our first together. And I really felt strongly, and I've told this to you before, I think, too, is that I just feel it's really solid. One is we have a beautiful facility. That's paid for, which I'm excited about. But also, too, I want to thank each and every one of you for accepting us to help grow the ministry here, that we're going to see amazing things happen. My heart is that we're going to see more and more people coming to Christ as new believers. And so that's my heart where I'm here at New Life Foursquare, where I walk. And so I'm just excited about that. I'm excited that we have a place to live, because as we all know, that was coming down to the wire. We were prepared to tent, so I just wanted to say that. I want to also acknowledge my mom and dad for your faithfulness to the Lord and for your faithfulness to us. And for coming from the island. I really appreciate that. My big brother Steve is here. It means a lot that you guys are here to support us. It's been great. It means a lot. Even though we joke around a lot. And it's good to see my boy Aaron here as well. I also want to do a shout-out to Mark and Tara for coming from Calgary. We really appreciate that and support. And Dave also, he slipped out, but he's my daughter, and well, it's my daughter-in-law, but my daughter, because I had four boys, her father. So that was really exciting. He flew out just to say, in support of us. So really feel greatly supported. And then, of course, our new neighbors from Kimberly, Tyler and Lizzie and the family, we really appreciate that. I'm looking forward to hunting. I've been preparing myself. Also, again, just thank you to the whole body. Thank you, Ken, for allowing me to stay at your house. I don't know if many of you knew, but he opened his house up while I was trucking back and forth. He's a great cook, so if he says he isn't, he is. So thank you again, and do you want to pray for lunch?
Okay. We're going to pray for lunch. Woo-hoo.